There's still some seats. I see two here, two there, one there. Oh, 100 there. So, I'm going to get some chairs. B'shus the Rabbanim. Rabbi Olshin mentioned Hanukkah is upon us. Wanted to share a Hanukkah thought with you. The source is the Medrash Tanchuma in Parshas Naso. On the Psukim we read the last 2 days of Hanukkah. Lo yomar adam eini mekayim mitzvah sekeinim hol ve'enim en ha'torah. A person shouldn't say, I'm not going to fulfill the mitzvah of Hanukkah since it's not found in the Torah. It's a rabbinic innovation. Ein atam Hashem lo mekayim. You may not say so, Hashem says. Kol ma shegozrim aleichem tiyum mekayim. Lama? Why? She'af al divrei ani maskim. I endorse what they say. Teda lecha, I'll prove it to you. Shere Yaakov v'shoa sheberech menashe v'Efraim. As you all know, Pashat Vayechi, Makos of Shom, Vayosem as Efraim, let's name Menashe. Osa koton koton magoda. We all know that. That Yaakov blessed the younger Efraim before the older Menashe. V'kiyem HaKadosh Baruch Hu Gzeir Osa. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu fulfilled and endorsed what Yaakov had done. Amosai when? The Karbonas and the Seer. The Karbonas that we read about in the days of Hanukkah. Shehikiv Shevet Ephraim Tchila. Yom HaShvi Nasid Adnei Ephraim. We read that Shabbos, a week from Shabbos. V'chakach Menashe. Yom HaShmini Nosid Adnei Menashe. Which we read on the last day of Hanukkah. This is the Tanchum. What lesson is being taught us over here? Whenever the Chazal says something, there's a deeper lesson. Let's try to understand what it means. Gentlemen, you all know the story. Yaakov calls in Yosef, bring me your children, and find me Menashe. What happens? Who can, with using his hands, describe what Yaakov Avinu did? Use your hands. That's it. You go that right. See Kaelis Yada. Everyone knows that. He put his right hand on Ephraim's head and his left hand on Manasseh's. Now, who knows how old was Yaakov Avinu at the time? Who knows? Who knows? Just raise your hand if you know the answer to that question. How old was he? 147. That's pretty old. Yeah, can you imagine a 147-year-old man putting his arms like this during a somewhat lengthy bracha? I had a different idea for him. Just say, Ephraim, just please move here. Menashele, move there. And go like this. Would have been easier. So the Netziv asked this question, in effect, in his commentary on Chumash. And he said, no. Yaakov Avinu wanted Menashe on his right knee. And Ephraim on his left knee. Why? Yaakov Avinu gave each child a blessing according to his abilities. We say it today, accentuate the positive. Menashe and Ephraim represent two different roles in Am Yisrael. Menashe represents the worldly, the physical. In the body, the strongest organ is the leg. And therefore Yaakov insisted that Menashe be on his right knee to represent his superiority in worldly matters. On the other hand, he wanted to put his right hand on Ephraim's head because Ephraim would be superior in Torah and in spiritual matters. Where do we find this? We find it in the lives of Ephraim and Menashe themselves, as well as the lives of their most famous descendants, respectively. I'm going to give you take you on a walk through Chumash and Rashi, which you should walk through anyway without me in a few weeks, but when you walk through, you remember this still, I hope. Vayol the Yol say, Kinei Avicha Cholem, Pashas Vayachim. An anonymous messenger tells Yosef, your father was ill. Who is this as Rashi? Anyone know? If you know the answer, raise your hand. Let's see if you know Chumash Rashi from last year. Who is the one who tells Yaakov that... No. Who's the one who tells Yosef that Yaakov Avinu was sick? Who? Anyone know? No one knows. Okay. Ephraim? Why? Ephraim was Rogel Eitzel Yaakov Avinu ben Talmud. Ephraim was a yeshiva bacha who learned with his grandfather Yaakov all the time. He was a spiritual person, a total person. Learned all day. Another Chumash and Rashi. Pashas Miketz coming up, not too long. Behem lo yadu kishameh Yosef ki hameli tzvein osam. Brothers didn't know that Yosef understood because it was an interpreter. Who was the interpreter? If you know, raise your hand. Who was it? Yes. Menashe. Then Menashe was Rashi. So Menashe spent his days not in the Beis Medrash, in the palace of the king, as a court interpreter. Man of the world. A man of the world. Let's go further. Yosef complains and says, Abba, you mixed up the order here. How does he respond? Yadati b'di yadati. Gamhu, Menashe. Yilam, the Gamhu Yigdal. He'll be great, don't worry. Vulam, however, Achiva Katon, Yigdali Menu. His younger brother will be even greater. Vizaroyev Aloagoyim. His children will be known throughout the world. Who knows what Rashi says about that? Refers to two respective descendants. The first of Menashe and the second of Ephraim. Anybody know? Any idea? Okay. The descendant of Menashe is Gidon. You learn about him in Sefer Shoftim. Gideon was a warrior who helped Bnei Yisrael overcome their foes. Man of battle, this world, military man. That's what he's known for. The descendant of Ephraim, who will be even greater, refers to anybody? Yeshua ben Nun. Although he knew how to fight too. Joshua fit the battle of Jericho. But he was known primarily as Moshe Kibbutz Torah Misinai Umesor Yoshua. He was the one who conveyed the Torah directly from Moshe Rabbeinu to all of Klal Yisrael. That's what he's known for. He's going to be even greater. He made Shemesh Begivon Dom. All the nations saw the sun didn't set at the right time. He had great spiritual powers. He's Moshe Rabbeinu's prime disciple. So once again, this distinction. Ephraim himself is learning with Yaakov Avinu. Yeshua is learning with Moshe Rabbeinu. Two good rabbis, I might say. Menashe himself doing a mitzvah, sure, but a worldly mitzvah, a court interpreter, translator, diplomat. And Gideon is a warrior, his descendant. And Yaakov is saying that both are important. But Torah and spirituality are more important, and they go first. Therefore, I must have Menashe on my right hand on Ephraim, after Sikkel as Yodav at age 147, to give each child a bracha according to his strong suit, to accentuate the positive and bless them to be successful in their primary endeavor in this world. I want to go further. Is there a Balkari in the house? Who remembers, or maybe who learned Pashas Miketz or a Bar Mitzvah or something? Anybody? It's a long Pasha. There we find the reason for the names of Menashe and Ephraim respectively. Menashe is called that because Kinashani Elohim is Kolamoli Veskobe Sabi. Hashem has allowed me to forget all my problems. Sold down the river by his own brothers, separated from his beloved father, imprisoned for so many years, 12 years in prison. Ephraim, ki Ephraim Elokim b'eretz anyu. Hashem may be fruitful in the land of my affliction. Let me explain what this means. We have to have different attitudes in our response and our orientation to the spiritual world, to the physical world. In the physical world and worldly matters, we have to always do new things. Innovate or perish. In all areas of the physical world, I'll give a few examples. Let's take the military. It's the most physical. If you fight the last war, you lose. You have to be ahead of the curve. Just to give a small local example, I was privileged to be in Eretz Yisrael for the Six-Day War, 1967. I was here. Oh, 6 days, amazing, amazing victories, fantastic. And it all happened because of, Hashem allowed it to happen. But from the military perspective, what clinched the victory before the war even started was total air superiority that Israel had. They swooped down, aborted the radar, destroyed the Egyptian Air Force on the ground. Gavalt. Six years later, Yom Kippur was started on Yom Kippur, as we all know. It was a total disaster. Thousands upon thousands of casualties. Achenu B'nai Yisrael burnt the tanks in the Sinai Desert. What happened? There were many signals of this war coming. It was hold. Golda Meir had to resign. There were numerous. So what we worry? They come over the Suez Canal, we'll send the Air Force. We'll destroy it, no problem. They didn't know, is that the Russians gave the Egyptians what they called the surface-to-air missiles, and we had no way to contend with them. We had no clue what to do. It took us a couple of weeks. The Yiddish kept, but good. They started making flares and distract. But for those first 10 days, it was churbanis. Thousands of Yidden lost their lives to be fighting the last war. But it's not only true in military. Let's take political. Just imagine somebody gets up from the dead. I'm not talking about 1,000 years ago. From 25 years ago. Gets up from the dead. Died in 1987. He comes and he sees, alright, he's a big diplomat, you know. Alright, so how is the Cold War playing out? You know, the two superpowers, how are they jockeying for position now? America and Russia, you know. What? Well, yeah, the USSR. What? What? When you were born, it stopped existing already. But one generation ago, that was the whole thing. We grew up in the Cold War with bomb shelters to nuclear threats, the Cuban Missile Crisis. That was the whole world, was not the Cold War. It went on from 1948, went on for 40 years. The whole thing was the Cold War. And the guy said, that's history. You can't tilt with the Cold War. That was the emerging countries, third world, China, economy, the whole thing's different. Took the politics of a generation ago. It won't work. Let's say what relates to you more than anything else. You're not going to probably be a military man, or probably a political man. How do you make a living? It's also a very worldly concern. How do you make a living? How did our great-grandfathers make livings in Europe? Shopkeepers, tailors, cobblers. I know it from the Yiddish songs. That's how I know what they used to do for living there. The Schneider, the Schuster, the Milchiker, Tevi, the Milchiker, you know, they sold milk. And even from my own grandparents and great-grandparents, they had various stores in the Lower East Side of Manhattan. My boy said, who in this room plans to be a cobbler? Or any one of the three, raise your hand. A cobbler, a tailor, or a local shopkeeper? Why not? Ask your grandparents what your great-grandparents did. I give you my word that some of them were certainly in that field. No more. You can't make a living that way. You're accustomed now. You have to become a doctor, a lawyer, whatever else, a businessman. The world's changed. You have to forget what they did last generation and do something new. Otherwise, you lose. And within your, let's say, a computer program. A lot of people got computers. You used the computers 25 years ago. They're in the garbage. Dinosaurs. Things change so quickly. Look at all these gizmos here. They didn't have these things. When I came to Yeshiva, it wasn't that long, but they had these reel-to-reel tapes. Then the cassettes, and then this, and then they keep coming. Everything's always new. That's in worldly matters. Nashani Elohim. God made me to forget. That's Menashe. You forget, you start something new all the time, otherwise you fail. But the Torah is the reverse. Give me the old time religion. Give me the Torah of Sinai. Give me the Torah that Moshe Rabbeinu received and gave to Yeshua. Give me the Torah that was transmitted through the Tanoim and Amoroim and Gaonim and Rishonim and Achronim. Give it to me, I want it. My rabbis here are trying to give it to me, what Rashi said and what Tosfos said. Why not what people today say? There's nothing wrong with that, but the primary Torah is to transmit what came before. Why was Yeshua chosen to be the Torah leader and successor of Moshe Rabbeinu? You know why? Lo mosh mitocha olam. He reflected the glory of the great Torah leader. Chazal say, Pnei Moshe ki Pnei Chama, Pnei Yehoshua, our ancestor, ki Pnei Levana. So on a simple level, Moshe was greater. The sun is greater than the moon. But what is the moon? You know what? What is the moon? What is it? What is it really? A reflection of the sun. You won't know that. All Yehoshua wanted to do was reflect the glory of his Rebbe. And she fixed up the base measurements, she did all the menial jobs. That's what he was looking for. Do that. This is the greatness of Yeshua. Hifrani Elohim, Russian pre, Ephraim. What's the pre? The apple you have for lunch today is the same apple as was in Gan Eden. Things don't change in the Torah, in the Torah world. Hifrani. Oh. Having said this, let us return to the Medrash. An individual might be righteous in saying, I'm not going to listen to what the rabbi said. I want the old time religion. 613 and no more. What's this Chanukah business? And Hashem says, no, you may not say that. Because just as when Yaakov Avinu changed the order of Ephraim and Menashe, I listened to him and put Ephraim day 7 and Menashe day 8. So too, when Chazal introduced Chanukah. Sounds like it's a funny comparison. No, Rabosai. It's Mei and Yona. It's Minei Obey. They're connected. Could have picked 10 other changes that were made in the Chadash Baruch Hu endorsed. After this one, the teaching is as follows. You're right. Someone who innovates for the sake of innovation, he wants to make chidushin. He wants to make new things, you know. Make himself a name, make himself famous. Those innovations should be rejected. Because the Torah was given to us for Sinai and more or less stays the same. But if you take someone like Yaakov Avinu, who was the representative of the eternity of Jewish tradition, Ruach Yisrael Saba, and he makes a change, he puts the younger before the older. You see that there are situations in which you have to go against your normal grain of conservatism of leaving things the way they are and make a change in Hashem endorsed. So too, to move from Chanukah to Megillah, the two are twins. There were 48 Nevi'im and the 7 Nevi'os. V'lo pichsuv, v'lo siru. They didn't add or subtract, except for Mikra Megillah, they found the source for it. And Chanukah similarly. We're very conservative in our orientation. We don't innovate for the sake of innovation. That's unhealthy. not the Torah way. But if even those Rabbanim who normally speaking are trying to preserve what came before, as the Rabbanim used to sign the names in Europe, Shomer Mishmeres HaKodesh, my main job is to preserve. If even such a rabbi who's so oriented says there has to be a change. The rabbis in Germany made many changes. They were the ones who signed Shomer Mishmeres HaKodesh. The Aruch HaNer and Sham Shul Fol Hirsch and the Wurzburg, they signed their names. And they started speaking in German and they did other things, not going into all the details right now. Because they knew these changes had to be made in order to preserve. In order to preserve, they had to make certain changes. But only changes of this nature. Not changes for the sake of change. Because, you know, it's the spirit of the times requires me to do X, Y, or Z. The same Nitziv, same author, has a comment also in his Parish of Chumash and say Parish of Achrimos, Parish of Ches, places elsewhere. There's a stira in two Gemaras. Gemaras is the Brachas, leave that for your Zion. Kol Osa Shalom Lishma, Noach Lo Shalom Nivra, or its equivalent. If you do things with Shalom Lishma, better if you weren't ever, never born. The Imam Tzachon, which is famous, we'll know about that one. That Gemara says, La'olam Yasa Kodan V'Torah V'Mitzvah Sanfila Shalom Lishma. Why? Finish the sentence. Everyone knows that. Shemitah Shalom Lishma, Kodan Lishma. Here's also, it's a contradiction. Should you or shouldn't you be involved in Shalom Lishma? So Tosfos answers, there are two kinds of Shalom Lishma. Shalom Lishma for a jury vote, they call me a rabbi, they call me a wise man, or something like that. That's good. You get 100 on the test. Right? That's good. We talk Shalom Lishma, Shalom Lishma. It's a good thing to do. However, I'm going to ask the content, when you want to do Shalom Lishma to try to destroy, try to undermine, that's Tosfos' answer. The Tosfos is an original answer. He says, listen to the word of the rabbis. Every word counts. The Gemara Brachos talks about ha'oseh shalom lishma. Talking ha'oseik shalom lishma. Oseik is the Tosfos is you are involved in pre-existing Torah. Every day, that's all the different Torah. The Torah that's there, it's the Tosfos, it's the Chumash, the Gemara. There, even if Shalom Lishma, I'll tell you about it, it's fine. Shalom Lishma. Oseh, says that it's it, it says it's in many places, is to be Mechadish. To be Mechadish. To innovate. It's true, there are many Chidushim in Torah, but they have to do Lishma. A person with Mechadish, I say a Chidush, that the Rebbe should think of a smart kid, that's terrible. A Chidush Shalom Lishma can't work. This is as far as we call it Mishnah Torah. Kavachom, even more so, if someone wants to institute a new halacha, a new custom, a new way to fulfill mitzvahs, for example. And the reason is because you know that's what people have to do nowadays. Yeah, we'll create a new custom, it fits in with the spirit of the day. You know, I have to tell you some of the today's spirits. They call postmodernism, egalitarianism, a lot of isms around these days. And in order to satisfy the isms, we'll try and put new customs. So, yeah, we'll just adjust to the times. This is Shalom Lishma. Innovation Shalom Lishma is a disaster. The question becomes, who's to determine it? The person said, I'm the will of the Shema. And very possible that they really are. The answer is, I go back to Yaakov Avinu. And Yaakov's successes were the Chazal of the Chanukah. And his successes which will go all the way through the generations. I mentioned before that change in the attitude of women, I mentioned briefly. The Hailing of Chavetz Chaim. The Chofetz Chaim devoted his entire life to preserving the Jewish heritage. The Mishnah Berurah. He wrote famously that nowadays the times have changed,
We have to create learning opportunities for women. When Sarah Shearer wanted to start the Pesach movement, her brother told her, you can't do this. We come from bells, and we have to go to the bells of heaven. We'll never allow this. So she said, okay. The Rebbe says, no, it's no. It's after years of prep. Years. She went to the bells of heaven. Instead of saying no, he said two words. Two words were Mazel Brach. Those two words changed the world. The Gerer, the Rebbe Shahan, did the Chatzayim. These are our leaders. These are those who, because they're happy in miniature, like the Chacham who introduced Chanukah. Like Yaakov Avinu, who just like pain and pain and pain. The highest echelon that we can have in Torah leadership. That's what we go to. We want to have something new, whether it be the new type of learning, also a new type of religious experience, I use that expression. You can't be just anybody. My Rebbe is like one of the Rosh of Salvation, would scream and yell against changes. It took away the mechitza, they'll come, it'll be great, in the spirit of the times. And he passed it famously that if you're only shul, bring his shulker, shushana, the mechitza, stay home. Miss the shulker. And later on, he critiqued sharply what he called religious ceremonialism. It was firmly opposed to observances which did not really have genuine bits of fulfillment. It's made you feel good. He knows, maybe they have a Shem Shemayim, feel good, they felt a spiritual high from something or other. He was able to determine what's genuine and what's not. Moshe Feinstein sets up in his response to these kinds of issues. Shuvin in Digris Moshe Chel Dal Tzimin Mem Tes on these issues, look it up. People are making these changes because going with the times and they feel that certain exemptions that wouldn't have are not right, they want to rebel against it, they're up of course an exemption. And he didn't use that word lightly. Even they meant well, they have Hashem Shemayim. You can't just do it, pick up and do it. You need a God of the Torah. You need a God of the Torah. Yes, it's true. If you have a God of the Torah who endorses what you're doing, and a different God disagrees, you follow your sales around. If you have to have someone on the job, now come on, you're fooling me that this person is a God of the Torah. Come on. Be real. Be real, guys. Be real. This is an important lesson of Hanukkah. Lesson of Ephraim and lesson of Menashe. You are now here in Eretz Yisrael, where you are, some of you for the first time, joining in this eternal Masorah from Rebbe Talmud, which you are duty-bound to preserve to the best of your ability for yourselves, one day for your children. It's an unending chain. Rabbi Avinu, to Moshe Rabbeinu, to the time of Purim and Hanukkah, straight to the difficulties ever since then, until Mashiach comes. Hanukkah, as Chazal say, Arachti Ner L'Mashichi, as Chazal says, the reference to the Ner Hanukkah. Ner Hanukkah is a preference of Mashiach. We have to devote ourselves to preserve the tradition. And if we do, we'll give him a chash. Every person here say the Dusha Torah. Everybody. Every single one of you. We'll be like, okay. Okay. But he has a chash to the Rebbe that he didn't think about before. And then they will speak to his Rebbe. And this and that. So do I feel aversion to you? Because your question. As Chazal said, you have to cool them a little twig. Will you put the fire on to build a big bonfire? But you have to be L'Shem Shemayim. We say every day, Baruch HaLokeinu Shebrach L'Kvodo. HaKadosh Baruch Hu made us for His honor, not for our own. May we love Him and not tell Him. May I be so bold as to say, Tov is up to people who are not B'nai Yisroel, who are not Shomrei Torah. That's obvious. That's told those who stray because they feel that they want to make a name for themselves and have new types of learning, new types of religious experiences. It's a mistake. It's straying from the right path. You know why? We've been asked about the Torah's Emes. That's what we can do. We want Torah's Emes. Once we recognize these three, the Chaye Ola Nota Besochem. As Chazal say, Divrei Torah are continuous. Everybody to be involved in the conversation of Chiddushei Torah started at the very beginning of time, from Moshe Rabbeinu to Rabbi Akiva to this day. You can and you must be part of that tradition and transmission. With your own Chalkei Besochem. My bracha, my tefillah. Each and every one of you will learn this critical lesson of Hanukkah together with all the others that your Rebbe will be telling you over the next few weeks. And this chutzpah should indeed be zocheh to our rachmanim, shichi, and heretim. Amen.